Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. The title of today's podcast, Recession. It's official. The National Bureau of Economic Research has officially declared that the U.S. economy is in recession. We will take our time during the podcast this evening to read to you their newswire announcing the recession. But first, to market performance. Of course, last Friday, we had that miraculous jobs report. Oh, no, that's right, it wasn't. Because when you read the fine print, when you read the entire report, when you scroll down to the bottom, whatever you want to do, you can read the whole thing and then find yourself there at the end, or just scroll down to the bottom in the fine print. Oh, everybody thinks there was a miraculous gain of 2.5 million jobs in the country, but we had a miscalculation error, and if we calculated things correctly, the unemployment rate, the headline U3 number, would actually be 3 percentage points higher, which would take us to north of 16% on the headline U3 figure. And again, looking at the broader measure of U6, we're still slightly north of 20%. I want people to go back to work. I want this country and this economy to thrive and to be strong, but I want it built on a solid foundation, not on a PR stunt, not on fudged numbers, not on a foundation of sand. That's what we have. That's what we continue to have. There is no fundamental structural change going on. It's not even being discussed anywhere. The only thing that is being discussed is how high will these markets go? Can they go down? Answer yes. Question when? Right? That's always a matter of timing. Markets rallied on this miraculous jobs report last Friday. NASDAQ making all-time highs, continuing that trend today. Getting very close to NASDAQ 10,000. And Thunder Thumbs is just sitting in wait. Sitting in wait, salivating to send that tweet out. NASDAQ 10,000, make no mistake about it. Just like Dow 30,000, whatever the number is, whatever that keystone number is, Thunder Thumbs is waiting. Can't wait. Very anxious he is. Believe me when I tell you. Market performance today, 1 to 2 percentage points higher, depending on the index. Right now, in overnight futures trading, Dow Jones is down. Flat, S&P down about 0.2%. NASDAQ 100 is also down about 0.1%. Cash trade in Japan is down 0.5%. Across the pond, a mixed bag. Although the land down under during the cash trade is booming, up 2.25% in Australia. I mean, the world's on fire, but they couldn't care less because they had a major bushfire this January. They're like, well, guys, we're used to it, so we might as well continue this rally. The U.S. dollar continues to get shellacked, although at a lesser pace, and right now it's actually gaining slightly against the basket of currencies. On the commodity front, WTI is trading at $38.62. A barrel Brent is at $41.20. Natural gas at $1.81 per million British thermal units. Gold and silver. Gold, $1,696 an ounce, still below $1,700. Silver trading at $17.61. Continue to be buying opportunities as far as I'm concerned. Again, I don't give advice, just give you information, what I would do, what I think is right. But you have to make your own decision, because I do believe that the markets remain, when it comes to the precious metal space, in a long-term bull market. So any type of pullback is positive. Bond front, Uncle Sam's U.S. 10-year Treasury is now yielding spot 8.5%. So what's going on here? Well, it's official, we're in recession. I guess everybody knew that. Now, of course, there is a difference between the official recession being called by the NBER, the National Bureau of Economic Research, and a quote-unquote technical recession, which is what the talking heads will tell us, is a recession, which is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. Well, we already know Q1 came in at negative 5%. The initial reading was negative 4.8. Second draft, negative 5. We'll see what the third and final comes out, I believe, next month. And then at the end of July, we will also get the preliminary report for the second quarter of this year, which we already have some banks within the Federal Reserve System predicting negative 50% for the second quarter, if not worse. So everybody knows that it's a recession, no surprise. We were always questioning here whether or not the National Bureau of Economic Research would come out this year and announce that the country was in recession. The fact that this is 2020, a political year, a presidential election year, would they want to look political? Of course, COVID-19 is just a beautiful cover for everybody to come out and just blame COVID-19. It's all you have to do. It justifies the unjustifiable, which is what we've been discussing here for weeks, if not months now, with all of these lockdown measures, shutdown measures, the moral hazard of everything, the $3 trillion monstrosity, the other ones that are coming down the pike, make no mistake about it. Just do what it you got to do. Don't pay attention to the national debt, the deficits. They're not to worry. We can focus on those at a later time. But in the meantime, we're going to run them to the moon and beyond. That's what they tell us. That's what they tell us. That the printing press is the panacea. It's all you need. Anybody who has a degree in finance or economics, if they continue to do this junk, I suggest that we go back to our universities or, you know, however it might have been, however many you went to, and get your money back. Because nowhere in any of your classes were you told ever that a printing press is the panacea for everything. Got a global pandemic? Print some money. That's all you got to do. You got a stock market that goes down? Print some money. You got out of control spending in Congress? Print some money. You got protests coast to coast, globally? Print some money. You're not going to find that in any textbook. So go back and get your money. Go back and get it. Your debt forgiveness that might be coming down the pike, that's not enough. That's not going to do it. Go get it all back. All of it. This is a joke, but this is what they're doing. So here's the report from the NBER. This is out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Today, the Business Cycle Dating Committee of the National Bureau of Economic Research maintains a chronology of the peaks and troughs of U.S. business cycles. The committee has determined that a peak in monthly economic activity occurred in the United States economy in February of 2020. The peak marks the end of the expansion that began in June of 2009 and the beginning of a recession. The expansion lasted 128 months, the longest in the history of the United States business cycles, dating back to 1854. The previous record was held by the business expansion that lasted for 120 months from March of 1991 to March of 2001. So this business expansion, 128 months being the longest, the previous longest was 120. The committee also determined that a peak in quarterly economic activity occurred in the fourth quarter of 2019. Note that the monthly peak, February of 2020, occurred in a different quarter, the first quarter of 2020, than the quarterly peak. The committee determined these peak dates in accord with its longstanding policy of identifying the months and quarters of peak activity separately, without requiring that the monthly peak lie in the same quarter as the quarterly peak. Further comments on the difference between the quarterly and monthly dates are provided below. A recession is a significant decline in economic activity spread across the economy, normally visible in production, employment, and other indicators. A recession begins when the economy reaches a peak economic activity and ends when the economy reaches its trough. Between trough and peak, the economy is in an expansion. Because a recession is a broad contraction of the economy, not confined to one sector, the committee emphasizes economy-wide indicators of economic activity. The committee believes that domestic production and employment are the primary conceptual measures of economic activity. The month of the peak. In determining the date of the monthly peak, the committee considers a number of indicators of employment and production. The committee normally views the payroll employment measure, which is based on a large survey of employers, and the most reliable comprehensive estimate of employment. This series reached a clear peak in February. The committee recognized that this survey was affected by special circumstances associated with the pandemic of early 2020. In the survey, individuals who are paid but not at work are counted as employed even though they are not in fact working or producing. Workers on paid furlough who became more numerous during the pandemic thus resulted in an overcount of people working in recent months. Accordingly, the committee also considered the employment measure from the Bureau of Labor Statistics Household Survey, which excludes individuals who are paid but on furlough. This series plateaued from December of 2019 through February of 2020, and then fell steeply from February to March. Because both series measure employment during the week or pay period during the 12th of the month, they understate the collapse of employment during the second half of March, as indicated by unprecedented levels of new claims for unemployment insurance. The committee concluded that both employment series were thus consistent with a business cycle peak in the month of February. The committee believes that the two most reliable comprehensive estimates of aggregate production are the quarterly estimates of real gross domestic product GDP and real gross domestic income GDI, both produced by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the BEA, which, for those of you who are unaware, is also within the Commerce Department. These measures estimate production that occurred over an entire quarter and are not available monthly. The most comprehensive monthly measure of aggregate expenditures, which includes roughly 70% of real GDP, is monthly real personal consumption expenditures, PCE, published by the BEA. This series reached a clear peak in February of 2020. The most comprehensive monthly measure of aggregate real income is real personal income, less transfers, also from the BEA. The deduction of transfers is necessary because transfers are included in personal income but do not arise from production. Transfer payments, something coming from the government. This measure also reached a well-defined peak in February of 2020. Now, that was all of the monthly peak data. Here is the quarter of the peak. In dating the quarterly peak, the committee relies on real GDP and real GDI as published by the BEA and on quarterly averages of key monthly indicators. Quarterly real GDP and real GDI peaked in the fourth quarter of 2019. The quarterly average of employment as measured by the payroll series rose from the fourth quarter of 2019 to the first quarter of 2020. However, the committee concluded that the special factor noted above implies that this series should not play a significant role in determining the quarterly peak. The quarterly average as measured by the household survey reached a clear peak in the fourth quarter of 2019. The committee concluded that like GDP and GDI, the number of people working also reached its quarterly peak in the fourth quarter of 2019. The fact that the monthly peak of February occurred in the middle of 2020 first quarter, while the quarterly peak occurred in the fourth quarter of 2019, reflects the unusual nature of this recession. The economy contracted so sharply in March, the final month of the quarter, that in the first quarter of 2020, GDP, GDI, and employment were significantly below their levels of the fourth quarter of 2019. Now, here are some of their further comments. The usual definition of a recession involves a decline in economic activity that lasts more than a few months. However, in deciding whether to identify a recession, the committee weighs the depth of the contraction, its duration, and whether economic activity declined broadly across the economy, the diffusion of the downturn. The committee recognizes that the pandemic and the public health response has resulted in a downturn with different characteristics and dynamics than prior recessions. Nonetheless, it concluded that the unprecedented magnitude of the decline in employment and production and its broad reach across the entire economy warrants the designation of this episode as a recession, even if it turns out to be briefer than earlier contractions. So there you have it, folks. That is the announcement today from the National Bureau of Economic Research. They have come to the conclusion that the United States economy is in recession. The month, February 2020. The quarter, the fourth quarter of 2019. Now, even they threw jabs at the jobs report. We know this. We've been focusing on this. For those who may be new to the channel, or those of you who have been with me for a while, who may have not taken the time to go on our website or even on our YouTube channel at thecapitalnews.com and to look at our videos, because we did a recession series looking at what the National Bureau of Economic Research looks at. We discussed those things, in addition to some others, like the yield curve, the 10-year Treasury note against the 3-month, 10-year versus the 2-year. We looked at unemployment, which is obviously something the National Bureau of Economic Research looks at. We also looked at the federal funds rate, and we talk about manufacturing and industrial production and GDP all the time here. Well, go check out those videos, folks, because if we're looking at the yield curve, the difference between the 10-year and 3-month, we called recession here, potentially, just simply by looking at the numbers, potentially, June of 2020. Well, that's when they called it. Now, that's not when it started, but that's the month and when they called it. Now, we weren't buying into the hype of Thunder Thumbs and Larry Kudlow and everybody else in this administration and the people on CNBC and Fox Business that this is the greatest and was the greatest economy ever, because it wasn't. I gave you that long list of economic variables to look at. Rattled them off here for weeks. Don't trust me. Go look at this stuff yourself and tell me if this is boomtown. And a clear answer was no. It was no. Again, I'm not dancing. I'm not patting myself on the back. I want a strong and thriving economy, but it has to be built on a solid foundation, period, end of story. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see these massive cycles of booms and busts that is just going to be completely devastating to the vast majority of people. You know, we've done our history segments on the Federal Reserve. World War I, World War II, slightly, Great Depression, and we're going to continue those conversations. But the Federal Reserve was enacted in 1913, in operation 1914, and the selling point from the powers that be, primarily the Morgans and the Rockefellers, and all of their cronies and comrades, was, hey, look, we have too many problems. There's recessions. You know, we just went through the panic of 1907. You guys don't want to do this again, do you? Trust us. Trust us. We're going to establish a central authority, a central bank, and we're going to do away with recessions. They're not going to happen anymore. And don't forget, 1913 was also the year that the federal income tax also came into existence. And it's not a coincidence. Make no mistake about it. It's one big club, ladies and gentlemen, and you ain't in it, but you're getting hit over the head with it every day. Every day. Don't ever forget that. What did we have after the Federal Reserve? Not even a decade later, we talked about 1920, 1921. Massive recession. Some consider it a depression. But it's not discussed. People don't talk about it too much. Why? Because the country still understood free market capitalism. The country and our politicians both understood the prudence of a laissez-faire economy. And they let the market sort itself out. And that's exactly what it did, because that's exactly what markets do. And of course, at the time, you had Herbert Hoover, who was then the Secretary of Commerce, pledging to himself, if he's ever president or a man in charge to make these final decisions, we're going to do something. I don't know what, but we're going to do something. Well, as luck or fate would have it, The man became president. You have the roaring 1920s, and then boom, on his watch, stock market crash. His policies come in because you got to do something. You got to do something, which would have turned a severe recession into the Great Depression, sowing the seeds, because you got to do something, causing the Great Depression. Then you get FDR coming in with the New Deal, which is really old. And it's not really a deal, because typically a deal, what that denotes is that both sides are going to get something out of it to better themselves. But one side got the better of it. The other side got screwed. Kind of sounds familiar today with the Nobody Cares Act. Prolonging the Great Depression. In a decade, the 1930s, having a recession at the end of the 1930s. Not getting out until after World War II. Not because of World War II, after World War II, because there was no competition. We nuked the Japanese. Europe was rubble. South America, Central America, Australia, Africa. They were no threat to the United States of America, economically speaking or militarily speaking either. Where else are you going to go? The United States funded a lot of this stuff. Gave the European allies a lot of food, a lot of agricultural products, a lot of machinery for war. Well, back then, we were still tied to gold. A lot of those settlements were done in gold. We had all the gold. Vast majority of it. Those with the gold make the rules. Our country wasn't bombed. It wasn't in tatters. Had strong demographics. It was ours for the making. Ours for the taking. And we did. It wasn't free market capitalism that brought us out of it. It was war. Understand this. The real free market capitalism in this country was the 19th century. Free market capitalism, peace, prosperity, for the most part. Nothing's perfect. Gold standard. Industrial revolution. Millions of people coming to this country. And then people start to amass their wealth. That's not enough. Got to have power. Got to have authority. Rockefeller's, Morgan's. Ah, we need more. We need more. Well, they got it. We got it. And their selling point of eliminating recessions, not even close. Doesn't even take that much to look them up, folks. And a lot of people listening have lived through several. Okay? So it's not just history, it's reality. A lot of people have went through them. And these booms are getting bigger, and subsequently the busts are getting bigger, leaving even more in its wake. You know, I argue that we already had a lost decade. We're going to have another one. And don't think it can't happen. Go ask your friends in Japan and go ask your friends in Europe. It can happen here too. And with the rhetoric that everything's great and we're going to bounce back, it's very reminiscent, of course, that's Donald Trump, very reminiscent of the same type of language that he used when he got a lifeline that bailed him out with his casinos in Atlantic City. It's on tape. You can find it, documentaries of it. After he got a lifeline to keep the casinos open because they were going bust, he said, "We're coming back. It's going to be better than ever before. You watch." No. Went bankrupt again. Sounds nice. I like the optimism, but I also want to see a plan. There's no plan. It's just hype. Again, all sizzle, no steak. Don't make that mistake. Understand that. So that's it. That's it. We are in recession. It's official. Stock market seemingly couldn't care less, and it's global. It's global. The bond market's telling us something to look out for here. Currency markets, something to look out for here with the dollar weakening. Again, one of my biggest concerns is with the bond market. If it gets out of control, out of the Fed's control, it's pretty much game over, folks. We have to understand this. Stock market's very emotional. It's a lot about inflows, outflows of cash, that type of stuff. The bond market is much deeper. It is the better macro variable for predicting what's coming. Got to pay attention. Because if rates start to go up, if yields start to go up, rather, across the spectrum, across the yield curve, then I am going to be of the belief that nobody wants Uncle Sam's junk. I am of that belief, but now you're going to start seeing it. That's why, in large part, the Federal Reserve, the chairman, Jay Powell, every chance he gets, tells Congress, please do something more. Please do something more, because he knows they don't have the money. He knows they're broke. He knows they have to keep these yields under control. So issue more debt so we can buy it up, so we can put downward pressure on those yields. Come on, do something. They know what's coming. They're just not going to tell you, because you're not in the club. But if you turn on Fox Business or Bloomberg or CNBC or Fox or CNN or MSNBC, yeah, it's fantastic. Everything's good. 2.5 million people came back to work last week. Everything's fine. You know better, because you listen to the Capitol News. All it takes, folks, is reading a few more paragraphs. That's how lazy the media is. Or they're in on it, which we discuss in our book, too, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. Because there's only a handful of media companies. They all own everything else. They got their tentacles and fingers, fat, greasy fingers everywhere. So how much information are you getting? And is it really information, or is it misinformation, disinformation? With tidbits of the truth sprinkled in there. Is it on purpose, or are these people just that lazy? So it only took me, 10 minutes to read this thing out loud to you guys? From the NBER? Now, the jobs report takes a little bit longer. It's a little bit more in-depth, obviously. But so what? It's still worth it. Tell the people the whole story, not just the headline. Huge disconnects between the headlines and the fundamentals. And if it continues, and if, especially with the stock market, then nobody cares about any type of fundamentals, any type of valuation anymore, then go back to your universities and get your money back. Those of you with a degree in finance or economics, I'll be writing a letter. Believe me, you'll see it. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capitol News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.